Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Local governments across the country have enacted bans on single-use plastics, such as bags and straws, and that's triggered statewide bans on those bans. In Ohio, Republican lawmakers have introduced two measures to block local governments from imposing fees, bans, or other regulation of single-use plastics. Anna Staver is a Statehouse reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. She's been covering the issue. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
When and why were these two bills introduced in the Ohio General Assembly?
Well, there's a Senate bill and a House bill, and the Senate one was just introduced this fall. The House one was introduced spring. So they were introduced at two different times. But they're both in response to the fact that the city of Bexley and Cuyahoga County have enacted their own plastic bag bans that are set to go into effect in January.
And what's the trajectory of these? Are they expected to be enacted before January?
They've only got like 2 or 3 weeks. They break pretty early
right.
for Christmas. And they're both still in their original chamber. So I'm guessing no, if
okay.
I had to bet.
Okay. So why are the state lawmakers worried about these local bans?
Well, what they say is they have people like the Ohio Grocers Association, NFIB, which is the Federation of Independent Businesses, sort of telling them that this is problematic, especially for companies that have, say, 5 or 6 locations in a county to, you know, the national retailers can weather this a lot better than, say, smaller businesses, their argument. And that, you know, Cuyahoga County, for example, is letting cities and opt out, and a few of them are opting out. And
including Cleveland, I understood, was thinking about it.
I believe so. They're considering it. And then that's just, I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of see how retailers with multiple locations sort of handle that.
I read that ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, is behind a lot of these statewide bans on bans.
Yeah, a lot of these statewide bans on bans, which is a funny way of saying it, share similar language. And the argument is that it mirrors or bears strong resemblance to a proposed piece of legislation from ALEC.
Critics, there are different kinds of critics, and some of them say that the bills are a clear violation of the home rule authority that's granted in the Constitution, the state Constitution. And you wrote that Bexley Mayor Ben Kessler said it would be a clear violation of the city's right to home rule. And how does that work? Because state lawmakers can do this all the time now.
Yeah. So the Constitution basically says that cities and counties and municipalities can make their own rules within their own space. And there are certain limits, one of them being the state can put certain limits on what kind of taxes you can charge. And that's the state's argument here, is that it's that 10-cent or 12-cent tax on a plastic bag going forward that a lot of these places are doing, that they're saying you can't do that. But they're kind of going above and beyond that and saying you can't ban plastic bags. You can't ban other carryout containers. And that's where the mayor is saying you can't tell us that. Like, that's sort of our right to decide. And ultimately, that might be a court that gets to decide.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the issue right now of local bans or restrictions or fees on one-use plastics like plastic bag, grocery bags, straws, that kind of a thing. Bexley and the Cuyahoga County have enacted local regulations of one-use plastics. My guest right now, Anna Staver, she's a Statehouse reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about the question of whether that violates, whether a statewide ban on those bans, which is a funny way to put it, but it's the best way, why the ban on the bans might violate the local home rule authority granted in the state constitution. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Coming up later in the program, we're going to hear from the Ohio Grocers Association. And we'll also be hearing from environmental groups about the pros and cons of all of this and what we know about what works best when it comes to limiting single-use plastic use. What about the support for the bills? Who's behind that? Support for the ban, the local bans?
Well, I think it's people like, you know, the Sierra Club that you would expect, but also the Ohio Municipal League and the Ohio Township Association. They fall more under the home rule aspect that they think this is inappropriate. The Sierra Club obviously comes at it from an environmental perspective. You know, they say that they estimate that 100 billion single-use plastic bags are thrown away every year in the United States. And less than 5% are actually recycled. Like, you know, in your grocery store, they have that little, like,
bin
where you can put them, and they're supposed to be made into, like, Trex decking and things. but not everybody, or I guess most people, don't do that with their bags.
Let me ask you about the question of taxes or fees, because is it a tax when you don't have to use the bag they provide? It sounds like more like a fee.
That's probably going to be a question for the courts. And a lot of other states have done it that way. So, like, California's law says that you can make a plastic bag available for 10 cents under certain conditions, dealing with, like, the thickness of the bag and whether it has handles. And they have all kinds of ways of – but I think that will ultimately come down to, right, like, a fee should be for some – for a service, and a tax is something you don't get a choice about. And you do arguably have a choice about whether you buy that bag.
Uh-huh. Or use your own or anything like
that.
Right. And then as far as the types of bags that they want to ban at the local level, there's a problem or consternation about that as well, because that differs.
Well, it's also how you – what you define as a plastic bag, which sounds silly. But like Portland, for example, says if you're going to offer one, it has to be 4 mil thick and it has to have handles. It has to arguably be – reusable. Do you know, like, and I think most people know those. Those are those, like, thick, sturdy ones.
Sometimes you get them in, like shop, dress shops or something.
Yeah, like a Macy's
that.
Yeah, or something. And so they allow them to offer those for a fee. But those are, you know, made with different materials than, like, the ones that you have at Kroger. And there was a manufacturer who actually came up and testified on, I believe it was the Senate bill, who said, you know, everybody's ban says something different. So as a manufacturer of plastic bags, we have to think about what kind of bag can we have in what community. And some reusable bags are made from plastic and then aren't sellable under, like, a community's law.
What is the appetite among Ohio lawmakers for a statewide ban?
Among the Republicans I've talked to, they seem pretty interested, especially with these cities and counties moving forward. I think they view it as sort of a nip it in the bud because it gets more complicated, right? Say Bexley's has been in place for a year. It gets more complicated to go roll that back, especially after businesses have already made the switch.
Right. And so is there expected to be an introduction of a bill that would do that?
I'm not quite sure about how it would work. I think if the state passed a preemption law, which is, like, the technical word for the ban on the ban.
Yeah.
But if they passed a preemption law, I would assume it would be retroactive, or they might have to grandfather these communities in but ban anybody else from doing it.
Huh. Let's see. Brian in Columbus, you're on the air with Anna Staver of the Columbus Dispatch. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I do a lot of river cleanup in the spring and the fall, and there's just thousands of these plastic straws and plastic grocery bags along the riverbank and in the trees. And so I guess I'm concerned. I've been trying to put in a ban against plastic bags and plastic grocery bags and straws in Grandview Heights and not having much success. And so I'm concerned if this ban against the ban goes into place, what are we going to be able to do to change, to support wildlife and get rid of these things that are so dangerous to our environment?
Yeah, Anna Staver, I mean, what are lawmakers talking about?
Well, I mean, arguably you can challenge the law. You can take it to the ballot to try to overturn it should they pass something at the state level. But if it becomes law at the state level, you'd either have to get another law rescinding it, or you'd have to have a ballot. Or I guess the third option is have a court say that this violates home rule and you can't do it.
Thanks, Brian, for that call. Anybody else? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, grocers and other businesses, it's not just grocery stores, there's all kinds of businesses that use the the thin plastic bags now. They're pretty common. Is it just grocery stores, or are the retail merchants interested in this issue?
I think so. I mean, actually, I used to live out west before moving back to Ohio, and you don't think about it, but I was at a mall in Portland when we lived out there, and, you know, you buy a T-shirt, and they don't have a bag to give you necessarily, right? And you're like, oh, okay, this is how this works. And it kind of catches you off guard. So there's definitely anybody who sells clothing or like pharmacies or any place where you might buy something and transport it out of the store has sort of skin in the game, so to speak, because they are all using some kind of bag to transport that item.
But if they don't have to, if they were banned from providing bags anymore, it also saves them money.
Yeah, they also, I mean, they can offer paper bags. And one of the arguments for this 10-cent fee is that, you know, paper bags are more expensive. And so the 10-cent fee sometimes is to cover the cost of these additional bags or to help. And it's also, they argue that it may be irritating for their customers, especially if it's done at the local level, right? If Bexley, Kroger doesn't have plastic bags, but I can go three blocks over somewhere else, I might go three blocks over somewhere else.
And the question is that's what is actually happening? We're going to talk to some people coming up who know more about that. But as far as, I mean, that didn't stop people. Were they opposed to these kinds of laws in Oregon?
I moved there in 2013, so it had been in place for 2 years.
Okay.
So I think by then a lot of people had just kind of gotten used to it. Like, it's just how it works. But I will say Kroger, which I know is based in Cincinnati, I believe they announced in 2018 that they were going to phase out single-use plastic bags.
By 2025, yeah.
Yeah. So I think at least at the larger retailer level, they're trending this way.
Hmm. Amanda in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to comment. My family spent about 10 days in Edinburgh, Scotland this summer, and they are pretty adamant about not using plastic bags there. If you go to a shop and you don't have a reusable bag for yourself, you have to buy one.
Right.
And they're usually cotton bags that are reusable. We became very accustomed to it. And when we came back to the States, it was a bit of a culture shock. As you go to the store, and I usually carry a reusable bag with me, but to just have people automatically put your belongings that you purchase into a plastic bag, it was hard to adjust back to that once you've lived without those reusable or single-use bags for 10 days. So I think people might be scared to have that happen, but
what did we used to do before we had
exactly? But once you get used to it, it's seamless.
Thanks,
it is
Amanda.
So seamless.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Well, I got to say goodbye to you, Anna Staver. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Anna Staver, State House reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. She's been covering two bills that have been introduced in the Ohio General Assembly, one in the Senate, one in the House, that would ban, so-called preemptively ban, local governments from enacting bans on or fees or other regulations regarding single-use plastics. Coming up, we're going to hear from environmentalists, and we're also going to hear from the Ohio Grocery Association about what they think about this. So stay with us. This is Ohio Grocers Association, I should say. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
How do you turn what you love into a career? On season 2 of the Rivet podcast from WOSU, hear firsthand from students translating their interests into jobs without college. Listen to This American Graduate Project as we highlight the next generation of workers in the state's top industries of agriculture, insurance, and healthcare. Support for the Rivet podcast series comes from COSI. Subscribe now at WOSU.org/Rivet on the WOSU mobile app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. Local governments across the country have enacted bans on single-use plastics, such as bags and straws, and that's triggered statewide bans on those bans. They're called preemptive types of laws. In Ohio, Republican lawmakers have introduced two such preemptive measures, one in the House, one in the Senate. They would block local governments from imposing fees, bans, or other regulations of single-use plastics. Proponents of those bills say they want to head off a confusing patchwork of local regulations for retail businesses. Opponents of the bills argue that they trample on Ohio's vaunted home rule tradition, and they're not so sure that the state would ever enact a statewide ban. Alyssa Yoder Mann is the conservation manager for the Ohio chapter of the Sierra Club. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Dameron is the chapter manager of Surf Rider Foundation. That's an environmental group that advocates for clean water and healthy beaches. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Ann. Glad to be here.
Let's review, do the primer on why single-use plastics are a problem.
Sure. If I may, this is Sarah.
Yes, so, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Pollution, no problem. Plastic pollution has not always been a problem because we didn't always have plastics. So some of us that have been around for a while probably remember a time when, before plastic bags, when milk used to come in glass bottles, and plastic really wasn't a part of our everyday lives really until more like the 1960s and 70s, post-World War II, there was a change in lifestyle and then also just a change of just a manufacturing boom. There was definitely an ethos of throwaway living that became the fad in about, the 1950s and 60s. So about that time, as those items became, more commonly used, that is also the time when people started noticing plastic pollution. So bags really came about, or plastic bags, I should say, in the 60s, they were invented. And the first plastic bag pollution was found in 1965 when a continuous monitor that monitored for plankton off the coast of Ireland caught a plastic bag in the monitor. And really, in the time since then, plastic has just been found with ever-increasing frequency and volumes in our environment, something to the tune of 16 million metric tons of plastic pollution per year. And plastic's now being found in everything from land to water to air to food and the living things that inhabit these places.
Plastic doesn't break down very quickly. In fact, it's hundreds of years, centuries, they're saying.
Yeah, well, since plastic hasn't been around for centuries, it's a little bit hard to say with the exact...
But the properties are
how
pretty...
How long it takes down. Exactly. Plastic doesn't really biodegrade is the main problem. It just breaks down into smaller and smaller pieces because of the way that it's constructed. So it persists in our environment for many, many years and becomes, part of our environment, part of the food chain, which is obviously a problem.
Alyssa Yoder Mann, is there an issue? There are different kinds of plastic. The kind of plastics like the stuff you get in the grocery stores and in the produce sections in particular, or even thinner, that are really truly single use. They don't really, unless you're using them for just to lug light things around after that, they're mostly considered throwaway, right?
Correct.
Why a ban or fees? Why not just change the makeup of the bags?
So the problem with plastic bags, as Anna had spoke earlier, is that they're designed to last a lifetime. They're engineered to last a lifetime, but they're really only used for about 12 minutes. And so the engineering is just kind of upside down, and also people are not recycling their bags. So they have this opportunity to recycle their bags almost at every single grocery store, and they're simply not. US EPA estimates it's under 5%. The bag has just really become a blight in our communities. And honestly, the best way to reduce plastic pollution is to put a ban and fee on the bags. What we have seen in communities that work really well is a hybrid of a ban on plastic bags and a fee or a price for paper bags for people who choose to use them. So if you put a ban on plastic bags, consumers will simply use the next alternative that's free. So our goal is to reduce, bag consumption as a whole, if it's paper and plastic. So if you have this hybrid, it really starts to decrease consumption and change a consumer's behavior. And then we start to see changes in cities. So we have seen many, many examples. There are about 471 local ordinances in the United States, in 22 states, including DC. So there's a lot of this going on across the US as well as internationally. And the reason that more communities are doing this is because it's simply successful. So once you create a negative, consequence, you don't have direct free access to this bag, then you start to change consumers' behaviors.
And really, it's kind of interesting, Sarah Dameron, that even a nickel a bag can change people's behavior.
Yeah, just putting a cost to something that was otherwise free just triggers something in the mind of the consumer about whether or not there is really utility to this bag. Do they really need it to carry their one item out of the store?
There's been arguments that having the local bans means that if I want to grocery shop in Bexley, where they want to enact the ban, I don't want to pay, or I don't want to have to pay a fee, or I don't want to have to go without the free bag, so I go to a grocery store 3 miles away. Has that proven to be an issue, Sarah?
To be honest, I don't know how much of an issue that is. I think it's probably very place specific. But anecdotally speaking, I think, I know that I shop in the same places that I shop. I have an affinity for that. I think many people develop affinities for, where they purchase things and what they purchase. And a small thing like a 5-cent fee, it certainly wouldn't deter me to, drive somewhere further down the road and go somewhere different where I don't know where things are located in the store. Going to take me a lot more time to do my shopping. So I particularly am not concerned about that myself.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the trend of local governments across the country enacting bans on single-use plastics, such as bags and straws. And that's triggered statewide bans on those bans. They're called preemptive laws. They want to stop the local governments from controlling the situation. In some states, they've enacted statewide bans or statewide fees or hybrids. As my guest Alyssa Yoderman of Sierra Club has described, in Ohio, Republican lawmakers have introduced two measures to block local governments from imposing fees, bans, or other regulations of single-use plastics. If you have a question or comment, give me a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. As I said, Sarah Dameron is the chapter manager of Surfrider Foundation. That's an environmental group that advocates for clean water and healthy beaches. And also Alyssa Yoderman is the conservation manager for the Ohio chapter of the Sierra Club. Daniel in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Daniel. Hello.
I'm calling about the trash bags.
Okay.
I went 30 years ago, let's call it, a grocery store in chain small in Lancaster County instituted a program of canvas bags. They had them made up. You buy, I forget what it was, $30, $50. They gave you a bag. Every time you came in, use that bag or another bag. They gave you, I believe it was 3 cents off for each bag. Now, they gave, I don't know how many thousands of these things away. After that, then you could buy them for X number of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still using these things 30 years later. I go shopping all the time. There's always one in my car. I have, well, a dozen anyway. Canvas, they last, they're great, and there was no law enacted. All they did was, we're going to give you these, and we're going to give you so much off time, period. Don't know how they're doing now, but you can check and see. If you want the name, I can tell you the name.
Well, tell me the name of the grocery store.
Stouffer's.
Okay. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
In particular, but Lancaster County.
Yeah.
It's a small chain around there. It's okay. Nothing like Kroger's.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thank you very much.
You bet. Lisa in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I was calling just because my comment on the bans and the fact that they are trying to stop the bans, there is no good logical reason to stop a ban on these. We don't have the time anymore to worry about making people have to do this or not. Lucky's in Columbus, who is now owned by Kroger, they have a process where they ask you when you come in, if you have your own bag, do you want 10 cents off or do you want a coin, a wooden coin that you can put and it sends 10 cents to any of three places that they donate to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're encouraged to bring your own bags. But also if you use one of their bags, then you are charged the 10 cents and it either goes to the store or to your donation of choice that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I've been to Europe so many times and there are so many alternatives now to petroleum-based plastics that there is no good reason anymore for us to be using petroleum-based plastics. It's just illogical, and it's just because people don't want to think about having to pay more or the inconvenience. As a previous caller stated, once you're used to it, you're used to it. You don't even think about it anymore, and it won't take that long, a month at the max, for anybody to get used to using. I use bags. I have them in my car. I have them in my home. I've been using them for years. And some people like Publix down in Georgia, they had bags. They go through things where they offer bags like with superheroes on them.
Mm-hmm.
You pay 99 cents for the bag. And then you get to use that bag until it dies, which takes forever. So there are so many alternatives now that there is no good reason. And I mean, it's only one place to start,
right?
Because you can't go shopping without buying a single-use plastic.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
You. For
Take care. Sarah Dameron, a couple people have already called up saying they've been to Europe and it's the norm there. Does that tell us anything about how it could work in the United States?
Sure. I think it at least gives us some ideas. So one of the things that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, Americans, the average American family, that is, uses something like 1,500 plastic shopping bags in a year, whereas shoppers in Denmark, they use only 4 per year. And so why that is they have a 50-cent bag tax. So when shoppers are faced with the choice of paying 50 cents for, you know, a single-use plastic shopping bag or using something else, they'd much rather use something else. So I think it does offer us some lessons learned potentially for how, you know, policies that we might want to consider here in the U.S. that seem to be working fairly well abroad.
Do we know to what extent the petroleum-based plastics companies have lobbied for or against or what their stand is on this issue?
The extent to which they've lobbied is that would, I'm sure somebody somewhere knows, but lobbying, of course, is a practice that is documented, but there's, of course, a lot of that that goes on. They have a lot of money to spend on such activities,
mm-hmm.
So it might be a little bit difficult to quantify, but certainly the petroleum folks that are extracting petroleum, processing petroleum, they generally are supportive of, you know, the plastics industry, given that most plastics are petroleum derived. So, mm-hmm. particularly with things like natural gas, where there seems to now be a glut of natural gas, which causes the price of natural gas to fall, you know, creating more plastics offers a place for that natural gas to go and can boost the price of natural gas so that those companies are seeing more profits. So there's definitely an inextricable link between petroleum production and plastic production.
Alyssa Yoderman, in Ohio, in, given with these two bills that are pending in the Ohio General Assembly, has the plastic industry weighed in on either of them?
Yeah, they have. So the chemistry industry has weighed in. Novolex, which is the largest U.S. bag manufacturer, has weighed in. We've seen a lot of testimonies.
They oppose the local bans.
Yes.
And the statewide bans, I would imagine, too.
Yes.
Any ban.
Yes. We've seen them write testimonies for the state legislation.
Hmm. Harold in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Harold.
Hi. I just, you know, me, you need to put the responsibility back on the manufacturers to make them recycle them. But really, it seems like the whole oil industry right now is where the coal industry was 20 or 30 years ago, that they're going to be a dying industry, and they'll fight you till they can't fight you anymore.
Hmm. Okay. Thanks, yeah. Harold.
I'll take comments off air. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Let's see. I'm going to turn to Sandy now in Columbus. You're on the air. Sandy, hi.
I was wondering, what is an environmentally friendly way to discard plastic straws? They give them to you in every takeout bag you get. I have a box of them at home, but I don't want to throw them in the trash. What can I do with them?
I keep wishing I could remember to tell them don't include the straw, but so far I haven't been able to get to that habit of that. But Sarah Damron, what about all the other stuff we get?
Yeah, well, to answer the caller's question, you know, I'm unaware of any effective way to recycle a plastic straw. I suppose you could try to reuse it in things like crafts, but the reality is that, you know, refusing the plastic straw is really the best way to do things. And it is challenging to remember every single time you go anywhere to tell, you know, your person at the drive-thru or the person at the restaurant bringing your beverage that you don't want a straw, since mm-hmm. it's become such an automatic behavior for everybody to be given a straw, to be given a bag. So, you know, that's where things like policy really can play a very helpful role, because it's just so ingrained in our culture that really only something as broad as policy can help us change.
The city of Ashtabula here in Ohio does have an ordinance that was started in 2018 that it is a straw by request at restaurants. So you have an option, you know, to have a straw, but it's not automatically given to you.
Okay. Well, Sarah Damron, I've got to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ann.
Sarah Damron is the chapter manager of Surfrider Foundation. That's an environmental group that advocates for clean water and healthy beaches. We're going to continue our conversation. We're going to hear from the Ohio Grocers Association next, so stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Local governments across the country have enacted bans on single-use plastics, such as bags and straws, and that's triggered statewide bans. On such bans are called preemptive laws. In Ohio, Republican lawmakers have introduced two such measures that would ban local governments from imposing fees, bans, or other regulations of single-use plastics. So we're talking about the issue of single-use plastics and the pros and cons of bans. Still with us is conservation manager for the Ohio chapter of the Sierra Club, Alyssa Yoderman. Joining us is Kristen Mullins. She's the president and CEO of the Ohio Grocers Association. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we hear, you know, we hear about Kroger by 2025. They're completely eliminating plastic bags from their offering. So it's not as if grocers per se oppose or endorse plastic, one-use plastic bags, right?
That's correct. I mean, you know, listen, we understand the environmental impact that this has. And, you know, we as grocers inherently are good stewards of our communities, you know, so we want to do what's best for our communities. But we just feel there's a right way to do it, and there's a way to do it through a process. And that's kind of what our approach was, as you talked about the legislation that's currently being reviewed.
So what's the right way to do it?
Well, we feel, first of all, we feel that whatever solution that we come up with as a state needs to be just that, a statewide solution. This makes it much easier for compliance within our stores. This makes it much easier for our customers to understand, you know, why things are happening within their grocery stores and within their grocery purchase. So rather than have these different pockets throughout the state that have, you know, different ways of dealing with this environmental issue, be it a ban, be it a fee, we would like to have our first step be, let's make a decision as a state and let's implement that, you know, as a statewide policy.
What is your sense about what the appetite is for that at the state level?
Well, you know, I think there's, you know, frankly, some mixed reviews. I think they understand the business side of that and how complying with different laws across different, you know, be it city, you know, lines or community lines or county lines is difficult for that retailer. You know, however, you know, we do understand the role of local government and, you know, so there's respect for that. But we sincerely feel that this is an issue that needs to be handled at the state level.
Let's see. Dan in Pleasantville, you're on the air. Hi, Dan.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, you're all good. Everybody's perfect.
Everyone's perfect. Yeah. Yep.
Whatever we do about plastic bags, and they are definitely a bad thing, you know. But I remember when we came out with plastic bags, there was a lot of talk about how we were using too many trees to make paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we replaced paper bags with plastic bags because plastic bags are cheaper and they're easier to store. Everything about them, you know, they obviously get a million bags in a tiny little box, right? And
Something like that.
That's good for the stores and so forth. And then there's, if you replace them with cotton bags or canvas bags, then there's all the problems that come with canvas bags. The things that, you know, how the cotton is dealt with, how the ink and the whatever they use to work with cotton. What I'm getting at is nothing is free.
Well, nothing's perfect.
And everything has a side.
Right.
Now, I understand, as people tell me, that hemp can be made into anything, and it's...
Oops. Looks like we kind of lost Dan there. But, all right, so, Alyssa Yoderman, what about that? I mean, there's nothing's perfect. What are you shooting for as far as, you know, from your point of view at the Sierra Club?
Right. I think that our goal is we do not want to see virgin fracked gas used to create plastic. Every single piece of plastic that we have produced is still here on the earth with us today. And so, you know, using a tremendous amount of water, creating a tremendous amount of pollution to get this fracked gas to make plastic pellets, to make cheap disposable single-use plastic items is just simply not sustainable. It's not good for our economy. It's not good for the environment. We would really like to see people just using a reusable bag. You know, the plastic bag, like the caller mentioned, we did when it was introduced in the, you know, 1970s, we did think, oh, it's this answer to trees not being cut down. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, we have, you know, rethought that, and trees are a renewable product, and the plastic or the paper bags can simply biodegrade over time. So moving away towards plastic, leaning into using reusable bags is just really ideal.
Hmm. Kristen, well,
and if I could,
sure.
Well, yeah, if I could just add in, like, you know, we don't necessarily disagree with that. It's just that we think there just needs to be the right process to do that. You know, the switchover from paper to plastic, if you remember, that was a slow transition for our customers. You know, it was a, would you like paper or plastic? And it was kind of a natural transition. And not that I would suggest that it might take this long to make that transition from plastic to, you know, reusables, but I think it's going to take some transition. I think we need to get, you know, the public trained. You know, I don't know how many of us have those reusables in our trunks and we forget to bring them into the store.
Right.
And, you know, and it just doesn't
well,
happen.
Let me ask you this. How do you train the public without it being in some way compulsory? In other words, you have to pay a price if you don't bring your own bag. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, and I think that's one of our challenges. You know, I think what's going to have to happen is it's going to have to start becoming, you know, the norm, you know, where, you know, just when we transitioned, it was like we went from paper or plastic to is plastic okay? You know, so now maybe what we'll start to do is say, you know, you do understand that there's a reusable option for you. But I do have to caution, there is some concern, you know, on the food safety aspect of those reusables. You know, and so that's something that, you know, as a grocery store and a retailer out there, we're concerned about the food safety aspect of things. And if you were to put chicken in a bag and that bag doesn't get washed, and then the next time, you know, your fresh vegetables go in there, there's a possibility of, you know, cross-contamination. So there's a whole lot of training and knowledge that will need to go, you know, into the public out there so that we can keep everyone safe as well. But again, I just reiterate, we're not against the move from plastic to something alternative, but we just have to do it in the right manner. You know, right now there's a huge supply of these bags that are just sitting in the warehouse right now. So if we were just to cut the switch, right, then there's all that waste that's going to happen right now. There are jobs on the line right now. So I think we just need to think about the bigger picture or the whole picture, if you will, of what this transition really means for us as a community on a whole.
How much do you think, Kristen Mullins, that your members of the Ohio Grocers Association should be leading the way on this score, like Kroger, for instance, by 2025, eliminating plastic bag use?
Well, again, I think being good stewards of the community, you know, that's part of our role, is to decide, you know, how can we serve, you know, to best serve our communities. And, you know, go ahead.
Well, I wondered how much your members are talking about this and actually talking about the idea of changing habits and changing community standards versus opposing local bans and that kind of a thing.
We're talking about it a lot. You know, I have several board meetings a year, and it's always a topic of discussion. You know, whenever the consumer wants something from their grocery store, we want to respond and deliver. And, you know, and the talk is out there to, you know, how do we reduce, you know, plastic in our environment? So, of course, our members are talking about this, and they're trying to decide the best way to go about this, both for the community and, you know, obviously for the viability of their business.
Yeah.
You know, our stores run on a 1% profit margin. So, you know, some kind of hits like these, you know, are very detrimental to
operations. Why is it a hit?
Well, if suddenly we had to do a band, right, and a plastic bag right now is about 2 cents per bag. If we did a band right now and we had to go back to paper, you know, then we're talking about 8 to 10 cents a bag. And if we have to go to reusables, right, and let's say the consumer, you know, we're not quite sure exactly how the consumer is going to feel about having to buy their bag. Now we're talking $1 to $1.50 a bag. That retailer is eventually going to have to pass that along to the consumer, you know, and you know, we enjoy, you know, one of the lowest food costs in the world, and you know, all these little things like this, you know, affect that ratio.
But we are currently paying for the bag because it is built into the price of food, correct?
Paying for the price of the plastic bag?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a separate line item on our, you know, on our books is the cost of plastic bags. So if you look at it strictly from there, if we were to eliminate plastic bags, you know, it could potentially be a savings for our retailers, assuming, of course, we don't go to a more expensive, you know, medium, which would be paper, at the, you know, at the immediate action. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, like if we're gonna ban plastic today, then when you go to the store tomorrow for your Thanksgiving shopping, you know, you're gonna put it in a paper bag. You know, unless you're willing to buy, you know, a big shop like that, that's what, maybe 20 bags. You're gonna spend an extra $20 on bags. That's not the kind of customer service that our retailers are looking to do. So we would much rather like to come up with an alternative idea, alternative, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Krista Mullins. What do we know about how many, about what the typical grocery store customer is using when it comes to reusables? I mean, how many of them do use reusables? I know I use reusables, you know, I have to admit, but sometimes I run out. There isn't enough, so I have to go to a paper or a plastic alternative for the rest of the groceries. But what do we know about the percentage of customers that are already using reusables?
Yeah, I don't have any like hard facts on that, but I'll tell you, I know that it varies from community to community. Mm-hmm. Typically in the higher end communities, you know, there is a greater use of the reusable bags, you know, where that cost doesn't impede on, you know, the purchasing of their food. But in some of the lower incomes where, you know, they're watching every penny on what they spend to feed their families, you know, that extra dollar to purchase a bag there, you know, is detrimental to their, you know, to their livelihood.
Let's see. Sarah in Worthington, you're on the air. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I wanted to recommend to people to go to Sweco and Rumkey and take tours of these places. They give some great information and ways to reduce and how 70% of what goes to our landfill can be diverted from our landfill and recycling and such. And you, it's amazing. I've been on two tours of each of these places to see the waste, the plastic bags, the different things that don't need to be there. And so I just wanted to talk about personal education and to be a conscious consumer today. And also, I just highly recommend if people are available on Friday to find an opt-out side event and to go out and to clean the waterways and the Audubon Center or one at Tuttle Park, and so that you can really see firsthand where some of these bags are going and where the straws are going and the different things that you're talking about today. And I thank you for bringing this this up and that more people can hear about it.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Rumkey does estimate that they lose $1 million a year in downtime due to cleaning out those plastic bags that get trapped on their conveyor belts and their recycling. And in 2015, the Ohio Department of Transportation did spend $4 million on highway litter cleanup. So this is a tremendous amount of expense due to the environmental impacts that plastic bags have.
And let me be clear, Krista Mullins, if the Ohio General Assembly, if someone in the General Assembly introduced a measure for a statewide ban or some kind of statewide regulation of single-use plastics, the Ohio Grocers Association would be for it?
You know, depending on the language, of course. Yeah.
I mean, all things being equal, yeah.
All things being equal, yes, we would be. The industry is in support of an alternative solution. But again, we would caution that if it was a statewide ban, we would not think it should be an immediate, you know, cutoff date. Like, I think there needs to be some consumer education and some time for that transition.
Yeah, that makes sense. Alyssa Yoderman, what do you think?
I think that the Sierra Club is also in agreement with that. So successful bans and hybrid fees that we've seen do allow time for a slow rollout to help prepare businesses for this transition, to help
train consumers.
Right. To help create, you know, community awareness of it. We've seen lots of clever things of spray painting on the ground. Don't forget your bag, you know. Hand out, you know, businesses
that would help me.
Businesses that hand out free bags, like just really spending that time and investing in the community and the businesses to prepare everyone to have a successful transition.
Yeah. Well, Krista Mullins, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Kristen Mullins is the president and CEO of the Ohio Grocers Association. Also, Alyssa Yoder-Mann, conservation manager for the Ohio chapter of the Sierra Club. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We've been talking about local governments, how across the country they've been enacting bans on single-use plastics like bags and straws. It's triggered statewide preemptive legislation to halt those bans. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for all your calls. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.